Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Babe. It's me, Lara, and I'm joined again by the one, the only, Nori Reed. Hi.
Hello. Hello. So happy to be here.
Live from quarantine.
Yes. Right over. We're like, what, like 1 inch apart? We're touching?
Yeah, we're literally, I'm podcasting to you from inside Nori's mouth.
Just kidding.
No, we're socially distanced. You're like literally very socially distanced from me on the other side of Los Angeles.
How dare you? How dare you? That is so shady. I'm not that far. I mean, I'm in Highland Park. Yeah.
Yeah. You, a lot has changed since we last potted. We had literally like a very like, we left things on a hopeful level, I feel like, and then the world completely fell apart.
Like, I can't even, like, that feels like it was like 35 years ago.
Yeah, it's another lifetime. Like, we've died and reincarnated since then.
Yeah, I got a gorgeous apartment in Highland Park and the world completely fell apart.
It was like, things are going a little too good for you, Miss yeah. Nori Reed. Time to shut down.
I know, like, not to, like, I guess I'm just, like, from the gate, I'm bragging, but Eric literally, like, wrote a gross, like, Vogue article about, like, getting an apartment. And I think something happened and, like, the energy was like, no, like, this is gross. Corona.
Vogue? Really? And then it's like, goodbye.
Goodbye.
No, I feel the same way. It was like everything good was like about to just like pop off. Like, I was like looking at the calendar and like for the first, one of the first times in my life, I think, like looking ahead at like all the exciting things on the horizon and like looking in a calendar and being like, wow, I'm busy and booked. And then all of a sudden there was just like nothing.
Nothing. I think, you know, as a former Christian, I was raised, as we all know, we talked about it. Mm-hmm. Pod, you know, I think God just, we were just doing too much. Like, we were doing way too much.
And is this like God's yeah. shutdown?
Absolutely.
How are the Christians, like, are you in tune with the Christian community still, or like, do you keep tabs on them just to see like how they react to times of crisis?
You know, I'm not, I mean, I'll be honest with you, I'm not like that in tune with the Christian community at this point. But just like from the media and from like what I see, it definitely seems like there's a tug of war happening with like them like really wanting to go to church. And then it's like, but like, maybe you can't.
Yeah, I was like, wish that this had happened when I was like just leaving grade school and entering middle school, because that's when I really started to realize I didn't want to go to church that much anymore. And this would have been perfect for like shutting down any sort of church going activity.
Absolutely. Like, why could this not have happened like at a time when I think about that, like, not to like I mean, I don't know, this is too serious, but like, doesn't it like blow your mind that like kids are like going through this right now? Like, it blows my mind.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, I was talking to my friend last night who has two daughters, and they're still like pretty young. They're still like elementary age. And I was like, how are they dealing with this? Are they like freaked out? And she was like, no, they're like young enough to where it still is like kind of fun. Like they're not like devastated, but I guess like middle schoolers and high schoolers are like truly just like devastated by this because they like can't hang out with any of their friends.
Prom.
I know, prom, graduation, like that is the kind of stuff that you care so much about at that age. And like, if you can't hang out with your friends, you literally have nothing.
Yeah, like we're not, I feel like media is not highlighting the real victims here, which are, you know, the teenage girls who got the perfect fucking dress for prom.
Yeah, and like had a, and like their crush asked them, or like they were going to go with the crush or the person of their dreams to have like the most beautiful prom of their lives. Not anymore, babe.
That's okay. That's the true tragedy, and no one's talking about it. No one.
Yeah, I'm worried about the teens because like this is like a crucial time. Like I was remembering too, because like this truthfully has not been, the quarantine has not been that difficult for me because I like to spend time alone anyways, and I have a dog and like all my work is from home, so it's like it's just like being extra depressed and not seeing anyone is like kind of what it's parallel to for me. Yeah. So like it's hard for me to access the time in my life when I really was like gung-ho about like hanging out with my friends 24/7 and like not wanting to be around my family at all, and like it was just making me, talking to my friend was like making me remember that. And I just feel for the teens because they have also the rest of their lives to get really depressed and not see anyone for months at a time.
Absolutely. And then remember how like much your family pissed you off when you were a teenager?
They were the like, worst.
Like if your mom just like breathed, you're like, you're literally discriminating against me, and like I'm gonna call the police. And like I just feel like, oh my god, like I just can't even believe just being quarantined with your stupid fucking family.
No, it would really kill me. Yeah. I was like Googling like how to emancipate myself at like 15 years old.
Oh my god, that's so funny. My parents would tell me, like, I mean, I actually remember it too, but when I was like 7 or 8, if I got really mad at my parents, I would like pack up like, cause I like in the old cartoons, they would have those offensive portrayals of like homeless people.
Yes.
And they would be carrying like a stick with like a handkerchief, like with their possessions in it. Mm-hmm. And I would like try to makeshift that myself with my favorite toys. And then while I was doing this, while sobbing, my parents would be like hysterically laughing. So have I gone to therapy? Yes, I have. Like, absolutely. Yeah, great. Good memories. Good memories.
The best. I love like a tiny person threatening to run away.
Yeah. And everyone's just like, I'm having this weird deja vu feeling where everything I talk about, I'm like, did I already talk about this?
I think you did. I don't know. I've lost track anyway. I've lost the plot anyway. So it doesn't really matter. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
But like, wasn't it fucked up like when your parents like didn't even try and play along and act like they, you know what I mean? Like my parent, I feel like my parents did that too, where like I tried to run away once and like no one freaked out. And then I just like snuck back into the house and hid under my bed, like waiting for someone to freak out. And then no one did. So then I just came out and we all pretended nothing had happened.
Yeah.
But like, I think if I ever have kids and they do the threaten to run away thing, I'll like, maybe I'll just like flip out.
I feel the exact same way. Like, first of all, that's why we're in show business, is because our parents did that to us. And like my parents literally did not care. And if I, just like you said, if I have kids, like I would be like, Johnny, like what's going on? Like I would freak out. I'd be like, what's happening?
Please don't leave. Please.
Johnny. I'm naming my son Johnny, or daughter, you know, who knows?
Oh, I love a Johnny as a girl. That's really powerful.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm going to take to the streets. Like, I'll let them pack up and, like, pretend that I didn't see them. And then once I realize they're gone, I'll, like, go out in the streets and, like, scream looking for them.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm gonna take a page from Love Actually and take those poster boards with words on them, mm-hmm. and just, like, find Johnny and just, like, hold up and just, like, each, you know, each one of them will say like words that like, I love him or her.
That's a great idea.
Thank you.
Yeah. And like, and or like just wait at home and prepare like their favorite meal. So then when they finally come home, you're like, I missed you so much. And I knew that you've been out on the streets all day and you really needed this.
You know, it's, what's funny is that like I've claimed up until this very moment that I don't want kids, but this one small conversation is making me realize that I have to have kids.
I know. I like want to see the stupid shit they try and do, and yeah. then play into it a little bit with them.
I want to like make it big in Hollywood and make like, enough money to where I can just like make all the wrong choices with my kids. I want to mother them with love. I want to give them way too much affection. I want little Johnny, who's going to go to Oberlin or Bard. I just like want him or her to just like feel like nothing they do is wrong, like ever.
Yeah, just like be just like radiating confidence.
Yes.
And like raw privilege.
Way too much to where like they are a menace to society.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to have like the most confident kid on the face of the planet.
Yes, absolutely. Which, yeah, I went to school with those kids. Yeah. And I want to make one.
I know. It's like I see them all the time and I'm just like, wow, must be nice. Like someone did something right for you. And then I'm ready to like make one of my own.
Yeah. I feel like everything I do, I'm like, this is a complete piece of shit. And I'm just like, so bad and horrible, and I'll never be good enough. This is like the worst thing I've ever done in my life, and I want to like do all that so that I can have something and just it can be mediocre.
Mm-hmm. And then piss everyone off.
Yeah, that's what I want. That's my American dream.
I love it. I talked to a psychic this past week because I'm just like turning to like spiritual gurus to like help me get through these uncertain times. And he said that I would if I was to have a child, then I'd have one child and it would be a boy.
Really?
Yeah. And I was like, I've always wanted a girl, but then in that moment I was like, you know what? That makes sense for me.
Wait, that's like, oh my God, tell me more. I need to hear about the psychic reading.
Well, okay, so he reads your entire... The psychic, like, predicted coronavirus. So then that's how I knew that I needed to get in touch.
I'm sorry, can you please back up? How did he predict coronavirus?
He's just been predicting coronavirus for months now.
Wait, was he like... He was like, I had the most delicious bat soup. And... No, I'm sorry. That was the dumbest thing.
He's like, I felt really sick, and then I just went all around. I was traveling in China at the time, and I went around and like shook a lot of hands. And now other people started getting sick. So I think this is like a pretty big deal. No, he just has been like from the jump. Like he just knows the stars and the planets. Like he like reads charts. I'm not here to get to the bottom of how he does it. All I know is that he did it.
Wait, so like, how did he communicate? He was just like, there's going to be this like international crisis.
He said to a friend of mine who had a reading from him, he told her in her reading that there was going to be some sort of like worldwide viral event, like after December 26th, and that like, that you shouldn't plan on traveling like internationally in the spring, like basically just said all the things like a blurry watercolor of all the things that we're going through now. And she communicated this to me, or she sent me the first part of her reading where he was saying all this. And then I, silly Billy me, I was like, well, whatever, like I'm going to go to South Africa, and like booked all my travel. And then sure enough, coronavirus hit, and that trip was absolutely canceled. And then I was like, wait, this guy's onto something, and like I need a reading of my own. Like I very much trust.
My God. He was spot on.
He was fully spot on. Yeah.
And so when he gave you your reading, was he like also, did it continue?
You know, I really was focusing so much on me that I forgot to really ask about like what globally was gonna happen next. But
did you ask him what the chore is?
Ask him what the what is.
What's the cure? What is the cure?
Oh, we kind of talked about that. He just said like a vat, like it's going to kind of calm down in June or July. Things are going to go back to like semi-normal or like a facsimile of what normal feels like. And then after September 23rd, it's going to the whole thing is going to like come back again and ramp up, and we're going to go through another round of like severe social distancing. And then around January, there will be like a vaccine and it will die down and go away.
Oh my God. Wait, is your psychic Dr. Anthony Fauci?
Yeah.
He was like, really just like wash your hands and don't really touch your face and wear a mask when you can.
Yeah, he wouldn't, you know, he might be Dr. Fauci just like moonlighting to try and get through to like people that don't trust the government, because like he wouldn't, I tried to like Skype him, like we talked over Skype, like how you and I are doing, but like initially I tried to video him because I like have just been videoing lots of people, and he was like, no, yeah, just audio. And so I was like,
yeah,
Fauci? Wait, Fauci, that you?
I think it might be Fauci.
He said he's been busier than ever. So,
okay. Wait. So, what did he say about your life?
Well, he said I was a man in a past life.
Okay. Wait. Do I dare tell you that? Do I dare say it out loud? When I first met you, for a split second, I thought you were like me. For a split second. This was like a very, just like a small moment. I was like, wait. But the surgery? I was like, how much surgery? I was like, so confused.
Oh my God. That's the biggest compliment I've ever gotten.
For like a moment, and then of course then it passed, and I was like, oh, okay, no, she's just very cool, like she was like a cool girl.
That must be my past life masculine energy.
Yes, I felt it. I felt that masculine energy, girl.
You picked up on it. Okay, he said that basically this is why I'm bisexual, is because I was a man in a past life.
That's science. I think, yeah, that's how.
And that's just that, you know? Who am I to say no to that? I don't know.
What he told me, he's like, you're trans because in the past life you were a lesbian.
I think he'd probably be able to pick up in your chart, like not having researched anything or knowing anything about you, there would be signs to point to like why you're trans in this life.
I'm going to have to make my own appointment with Dr. Fauci.
Yeah, ask Fauci anything. It's the new Ask Jeeves, is just ask Fauci.
So you were a man in the previous life, and what else?
I was a man. He said that I was like a wild, like, artist man in a past life, but not like a sensitive one that took a lot of lovers. Like a real, like, fringe, like, just like a wild artist that, like, bucked society's expectations.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, I love that. I feel like I maybe was Jim Morrison in a past life.
That feels good. Feels right.
Just kind of like sweaty and druggy, and then like died young.
So he goes into like past lives, and then does he talk about your present like life? Does he go through all like time periods?
Yeah, he goes through based on your chart, like your childhood and what your relationship was like with your parents, and like, based on, like, he fully read my exact relationship and my parents' relationship and their relationship to me as, like, a child, like, to a T.
Oh, my God.
I was just like, damn. And, like, nothing really surprises me that much, because it's, like, I feel like I do a lot of this work myself, like, in therapy and whatever. So when someone, like, reads that back to me, I'm like, yeah, and then I also, it's like, I talk about it a lot just anyways. So, but I don't think he's the kind of person that takes the time to like listen to like 10 podcast episodes and like try and piece things together and then just like say it back to me.
I completely believe in the, I was going to say dark arts. I don't know what the occult or like what do you call it? Like, what do you call it? I really believe in the occult. Like, I truly do. So I'm a big believer.
Yeah. Do you get into like astrology or any of that kind of shit?
I do. I have a long history. So when I started seeing psychics when I used to live in Brooklyn, and the first psychic I saw was I was walking in Park Slope and I was feeling so lost because I moved to New York as like just like a cute gay twink. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, if you can just imagine like the cutest, most lost twink, like, you know what I mean? Like adorable. It's adorable. It truly is adorable. And I was just walking around feeling lost. And then there's this like brouhaha, like that's how she identifies. I'm not, you know, like don't sue me. That's how she identifies. And she not brouhaha, brouhaha.
You said that, and then I was like, yeah. And then I took a moment, and I was like, I actually don't think it's brouhaha.
You put one too many ha's on there, honey. It's just brouhaha. Yeah, she was, okay. And I walked by, and then she was like, you. And I was like, what? And she was like, you need guidance. And I was like, oh, I do. Like, I really do. And she was like, come upstairs. And because I was such an innocent twink, like, I didn't even think twice. I was just like, yeah. I was like, let's go. And so I went into her house, and it was really dark. And she gave me a reading. And, like, the things that have stayed with me since is she said during childbirth I almost died. But then my grandmother, who was a psychic, like, my grandmother was a... I'm like, did I talk about this already on your podcast? I don't know.
I don't even remember. Like, I don't even remember, but I'm fascinated and I'm ready to revisit. Right.
That was pre-quarantine, so it truly doesn't count. So it doesn't even matter. But yeah, my grandmother was a fortune teller and psychic in Korea. And so the psychic knew that. And I didn't say that at all. She just said, your grandmother helped and your ancestors helped pull you out. You almost died.
Damn.
Which is true. I did. I almost died in childbirth. So it's true. So I was like, oh my God, this lady is like on it. But then I started getting weirdly suspicious because then she started trying to sell me stuff.
Yeah, that's always the when you need to like go.
I was like, oh, I was like, really? You're going to do this? I was like, this is all cool and on point. And then she was like, you need this special silver because you have a lot of darkness in you and it's really dark and bad. And I was just like, first of all, I was like, that's rude. Like, rude. I was like, it might be true, but don't. I was like, that is so rude. So that was my first like experience, and I've had many since. But yeah, I love this stuff.
Did you know your grandma? Was she alive like when you were alive?
So I don't know her very closely at all, but my first interaction with her was I went to Korea when I was I went to Korea when I was five. I don't remember that very much, but I went back in middle school, and I remember because she doesn't speak English and I don't speak Korean, so there's a really big language barrier.
Yeah. But
she was pulling on my ears. And I was like, what's going on, Mom? And my mom was like, oh, she's saying you have the luck of Buddha in your ears because you have big, big ass ears. What is the, it's the bullying? The bullying is out of control, these psychics. But she was like, my mom told me that she said she's a Christian and a Buddhist because if Jesus doesn't exist, she'll go to Buddha heaven. And if Buddha doesn't exist, she'll go to Jesus heaven.
That's good. Just hedge your bets. Yeah.
She covered her bases, which I thought was so smart. But my grandmother was just like a devilish woman who no one liked. No one liked her. Apparently she was super rude to like all of her children. She apparently she was just like a sailor of a woman.
Like that.
You're right, like dirty mouth, like just said whatever came on the top of her head. She just said it out loud. But yeah, I met her, and then she came and moved back to Kentucky, before she passed away.
I mean, did she, and lived with your parents or lived like in a home?
She lived with us, my senior year of high school, and then I went off to college. Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
And she continued to say mean shit to me, like, until I left. Yeah.
Just like a constant bullying.
She, like, kind of, like, took over our living room. That was, like, her room. Mm-hmm. And so she would just, like, just say things just while I would walk by. Yeah.
Old people really don't give a fuck.
No fucks. And she worked my mom. I remember my mom was, like, exhausted because she wouldn't let my mom buy things from the grocery store. She wanted her to make them herself from scratch. So, like, I don't know if you know this, but, like, soy sauce is made by fermenting tofu.
Yeah.
And so she literally would make my mom, like, go through the process of fermenting tofu blocks.
Oh, my God. Get out of here. She truly, she walked so Goop could run.
That is so funny. She was the original Goop.
She was the original Gwyneth.
She had a candle that smelled just like her vagina.
Amazing. I got the vagina candle, P.S. And I'm actually, like, it does not smell vaginal to me.
That's a letdown.
I know. It's like, it smells kind of musty.
No.
Tony.
So, like, is that her vagina, though?
I mean, maybe. That it just, like, shocked me because I really have not smelled, like, a vagina. I mean, I have not smelled many vaginas. I've really only smelled, like, two, mine and the other person's vagina that I was very close to. But, yeah. Like, so that's not really a good representation of the vaginas of the world.
Yeah.
But I just didn't imagine that a vagina could smell like this. But if Gwyneth says it, so be it. Maybe it does smell a little vaginal. Now I'm smelling it again, and I'm like,
I remember watching, she was being interviewed by John Legend, who I think was filling in for either Jimmy Kimmel or Ellen DeGeneres. I can't remember who. But he was asking her about her candle. And the moment she said that it was like the smell of her vagina, he turned like a shade of red. Like, and he's black. So, I mean, he turned red and he completely shut down.
He couldn't take it.
He couldn't even, like, the moment she even said vagina, he got so uptight. And I found it to be fascinating because I would think that, like, Chrissy Teigen's just, like, walking around the house, like, just vagina open, like, screaming. That's what I would think Chrissy Teigen does.
Yeah, you would think that he's been exposed to vag talk a lot.
You would think that, like, she would be, like, vag first into any room.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, just kind of, like that's how she, like, makes her chicken wings. She probably has, like, a vagina chicken wing sauce.
Yeah. Like, this smells like my... I think every celeb should be forced to put... If they're going to shill products, they need to make a product that smells like their vagina.
100%. John Legend should have a vagina product.
Yeah, no doubt. So like he was
completely confused.
Huh?
I was confused. I was very confused.
That's a very confusing situation.
Maybe they've slept together. Maybe they like have because they're friends. So I don't know. Maybe there's some weird stuff going on behind the scenes.
Maybe he knew someone that had slept with her and like. They like talked shit about her vagina or something. And then in that moment, he was like, ugh.
Can't you see him and Chris Martin doing that?
Maybe.
I could see it.
Chris Martin really perplexes me. Like he was on. Mm-hmm. Do you watch Curb Your Enthusiasm at all?
Yeah, I do.
And he was on this season.
I did not watch the season. Was it good?
On like episode, I haven't finished it. I'm like slowly work through it when I kind of have nothing else to watch. Like it's a, like I know that it will just be fine to watch. Mm-hmm. And like I'll have some lulls, but he's on like episode 5, I want to say. And I really was like, it's the first time I've seen him truly like talk and really gave him the good like up, down, up close. Cause you get like, he's like talking to Larry David quite a bit in a couple scenes. And I was like, interesting. that Gwyneth would choose you of all people.
Yeah, like when he did the Super Bowl, that was another opportunity to kind of just like take him in.
Mm-hmm.
And like him and Mark Zuckerberg to me are they're the same. Like
they are.
They just look the same to me. You could replace one with the other.
You're so right. He has major Zuckerberg energy.
Yeah, he does. And then my problem with Curb Your Enthusiasm and why I stopped watching is like I'm sick of storylines where Larry David sleeps with these like beautiful women.
Yeah.
It becomes less and less believable to where you're just like, can we please like they are gorgeous, intelligent women and you're Larry David. Like, stop.
Yeah, I'm like, that part, I feel like that part I can kind of buy just because it's like, oh, he's really rich and like rich guys do sleep with like beautiful women. But I'm also just like, he's such an asshole that I can't even imagine after him asking like one rude question to me, like I would just be like, no, I gotta go.
I would feel so unsafe around Larry David. That my vagina would just completely close and there'd be no candle. There would be no nothing because
it smells like air is what people in the nearby would say.
It would smell like complete and utter fear because he makes me so uncomfortable. I don't know.
Yeah, I've gone the full spectrum because when the show started, 10 years ago, I was like, Larry David's hot. Like, I had fantasies and was like, oh my God, he could date like a young woman. That young woman could be me. And then now I don't see any sort of sexual energy in him at all, like to the point where it makes me uncomfortable if I see him like kiss someone.
I feel like the culture has moved on and like Me Too happened. And it's just like, you know, like, I don't know. Like the power stuff. I feel like because the power dynamic of him being this like rich Hollywood producer and creator, it just feels icky.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think he plays like he kind of addresses that this season in ways that are funny. And then I think he did he does a funny job of it. And I like how irreverent the show is. Like, how it doesn't try and play it safe, even though, because I just feel like a lot of things play it really safe nowadays.
Maybe I need to watch. Maybe I need to dive back in.
You know, it's a good show for when you like just made lunch or you just made dinner, you're alone and you need something to like watch quickly while you're eating dinner before you decide what you really want to watch.
I like that. I like a 6 p.m. type of situation.
Yeah, like a non-committal. You're just going to have a quick bite and then you're going to like move on with your life and you're not going to feel compelled to keep it going.
I remember do you remember the scene where the masseuse like jerks him off?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I like thought that was hot. I remember just being like, oh my God, this is like hot.
I was into all of it there. He dated a Jewish woman that could only fuck through a sheet.
Yes.
And like, I was like, I would have a sheet sex moment with him
and she was hot, but they made her ugly. They tried to make her ugly. I remember that.
Oh, wasn't that Gina Gershon?
Yeah, they like put on like prosthetics and stuff, I think.
Yeah, it gave her like a unibrow or something.
Yeah, and she still looked hot.
I know, hot. Like back in the day, like a threesome with Gina and Larry would have been where it's at.
Can you imagine? Oh my God, yes.
But now it's just Gina only.
Wow. See, I have such conflicted feelings about Larry David. I clearly need some, I need to do some thinking. Yeah.
Explore it. See where it takes you.
Yeah. I need to call my therapist.
See what your guides are trying to tell you.
I might see a psychic about it.
Are you doing therapy, like teletherapy?
So I'm, thank you so much for asking. I actually have graduated therapy. thank you so much. I know, it's amazing. So
amazing.
I know, thank you.
I have to give you an award after this is over. Yeah, you made
please. Please send me a Cheesecake Factory gift card. Basically my therapist and I we kind of like had a like yeah, we separated because I moved to LA. He's in Oakland.
Oh,
we were kind of doing these like weekly calls that were just like not going anywhere. We weren't even like going. Yeah, it was just like very boring. And finally he was like, are you getting anything out of this? And I was like, not really. No. And he was like, yeah, me neither. He was like, oh, we're just talking and we're not really exploring anything anymore. And I was like, yeah. And he was like, well, he's like, what if we just stopped? And then, oh my God, did my therapist break up with me?
He might have broken up with you.
Oh my God, I think my therapist broke up with me. And he did it in such a skillful way, I didn't even know.
If my therapist did that, like, I would be, like, it would be the kind of thing where I wouldn't say anything. And then, but I'd be like, ugh, like, why am I, like, still doing this therapy? Like, I'm not getting anything out of it, and get mad. And then the second my therapist would be like, are you getting anything? Like, let's stop. I would be compelled to then try and keep going or, like, want it even more.
Yeah, I think I'm starting to see it clearly now. My therapist got bored with me and broke up with me. But no, his suggestion was, okay, how about you just like reach out when you want to schedule something? Mm-hmm. And so since we made that agreement, we've only met maybe or Skyped or whatever like 2 times. But yeah, I've talked to him once during quarantine and it was helpful. It was super helpful.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
My therapist went on maternity leave like mid-February.
What a bitch.
And I was like, you know, she gave like an alternative like fill-in person if you wanted to just like supplement. Disgusting. But I was like, I don't want to lay all the groundwork. And then mm-hmm. I'm like, what if I end up liking this person like more than I like my therapist? Like, I was just like, I'm just going to be chill and like things will be fine. And then she'll be back in May. And like, what could possibly happen between now and then? Cut to literally.
Should have listened to your psychic.
I know. So I'm like really, I'm chomping at the bit for her to like get off maternity leave.
Wait, so you're not going to be able to speak to her until May something?
Yeah, until May. Though I'm thinking I might fire her an email just to see, like, take the temperature, like, to see if she would want to like just hop on ASAP. Yeah.
Did she have the, it's maternity leave, so she had the baby?
Yeah, she's had a baby by now, but it's like, basically I feel like even if she goes back into practice, like once her maternity leave is up, it's still just going to be like probably over Skype because I don't see like the point in meeting, like it just seems kind of pointless until there's a vaccine, especially if she had a baby or whatever. Like, I mean, I'm projecting all this onto her, but like I would be fine. And honestly, like, I started seeing my psychiatrist over Skype, and I much prefer it to having to, like, go into an office.
Yeah. I think you should drive over to her house, barge in.
Knock.
Yeah, no knocking. Barge in and get so close to her and her child and just be like, we need to figure this out, you know?
Yeah, like, crying and, like, snarfing in their general direction.
Absolutely. Because you are, you know... I don't know. I just think I think that we as clients, we are also their babies. And, you know, she does owe that to you. But also the way that you're talking to me, it sounds like you're a therapist. I heard you say projection. I think you were saying some other things. It just sounds like you might have become your own therapist.
you know, I've had to step into that role for myself, and as far as like, and also step into a role as like my own parent. So why not just assume the role of therapist as well?
I don't know. I feel like it's time. I feel like you're graduating, and you also might be graduating therapy. Who knows?
Yeah, I took mushrooms once during quarantine, like last weekend, and accidentally dosed myself. But then I like just decided to journey on it and like listen to the new Fiona Apple album and like go inside and just like see what comes up, and then had like a very emotional experience that felt extremely therapeutic. And then I was like, okay, like I basically just did therapy on myself.
Mushrooms are so, oh my God, the way that they like make you have to confront things that you don't want to confront is so beautiful. Like, I feel like I'll be like numbing out, and then I'll take like shrooms, and then you just have to like deal with it. They just like put stuff in your face.
Yeah. And it's nice. Like, it was nice to kind of be alone, have a dog, and just have music and like see where my brain went. And then it was like a really emotional place. And like, that was also the first time I cried during this whole pandemic.
Same.
Yeah.
It cracked me wide open. So my roommate in Oakland, my old roommate, she makes mushroom chocolates.
Mm-hmm.
And they're amazing because they're like somewhere between like micro and normal dosing, and they're like really like delicious, like bougie ass chocolates. Like she uses like really fancy ingredients, and then because that's important, that's also very important.
Yeah, I mean,
come on,
we know you have a family history of needing like sourced materials, like all organic. And made from scratch. It's in your blood.
In my blood. And so I get these fancy ass Belgian fucking cocoa powder chocos. And I took it. And at first the trip was really bad. I started having a bad trip. I got nauseous.
Oof.
And because I didn't eat anything, so I was super nauseous. And then I was kind of, it was getting dark. So then I was like, okay, I'm going to hop in the shower. Maybe that will save it. And so I hopped. Shower and
wash it all off.
Ooh, when that shower became like my sanctuary, I started singing acoustic to no one "Dreams" by Fleetwood Mac.
Yes,
I swear to God, just like thunder, just kind of like singing it to no one out the window. Tears started streaming down, and then I broke, and then I just started quietly crying. It was a very beautiful cry, and then it was gorgeous.
You just need that emotional release.
Yeah.
And sometimes you need to aid, you need like a psychedelic aid to get there.
Absolutely. Do you ever have bad trips?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. I've had like bad, and it's like, I've found, because I've only done acid like a couple times, but my barometer for doing it has always been like, like, I have to be in a good mood, and then usually I'm just doing it before, like, a Grateful Dead show or, like, a Dead and Company show. So that's, like, it's a fun setting to be, like, tripping. But, like, mushrooms feel like I really have to be willing to, like, I just also really have to be in a good mood. I can't have anything lingering or, like, bad voices going on or any, like, resentments that are, like, bubbling underneath the surface. Like, it really, I have to be, like, surrounded by, like, people that I like and appreciate.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't do it just, like, before a party or, like, at a party because I was bored. Like, I've done it on nights when I was like, I'm not having that much fun, but maybe I'll just take shrooms and it'll make it fun, and it will not make it fun for me.
No, you have to control, like, all the variables.
Yeah. So that's always been, like, that's kind of been my learning curve with them.
Oh, my God. My first time. And again, something I'm having, like, the entire time we're talking, it just feels like deja vu. So I apologize for sure consistently saying that. But the first time I ever did shrooms was for New Year's in Big Sur. And it was so cold. And I only knew one person. So all the other people only knew one person who she started tripping first. So she just wandered off and left. Oh, so God. I then did not know anyone. But someone was like, oh, do you want to try mushrooms? And I was like, absolutely. I've never done that before. So I took some and nothing was happening. So I kept taking more and more and more. Until finally it did hit. And I was so fucked up that I convinced myself that I had died from hypothermia and that I was a ghost. And so I was wandering around to like different strangers and being like, hey, like, I'm dead. And like, they'd be like, oh no, you're not dead. And I'm like, no, like honey, like I'm a ghost. So like, you think I'm alive. I'm not alive. I'm a ghost. And people were just like, honey. And then luckily this one bro, who to this day I am so grateful for, this bro named like, his name was like Sandwich, or like his nickname was something like Sandwich. It wasn't Sandwich, but it was something in that family.
Yeah.
It was like prosciutto or
panini.
Panini. It was like something very bro, like bro nini, something like that. But he like, he was sober. And so he like took me under his wing and basically, like, played me music on his guitar until I was, like, okay enough to go back to my tent.
Sometimes you need, like, a guide like that.
It was, like, he was such a bro. And, like, if we were, like, he would be someone that I would not naturally gravitate to, or like, I would be kind of scared of him. But he was so, it just shows, I don't know, it was like an Upworthy Instagram post, basically. Yeah.
I love that he helped you in your time of need.
Absolutely. And nothing was even weird or like, there was no weird vibes about it. It was just him literally being like, this motherfucker is like tripping and I need to like help her out because she's like losing her mind.
No, that's the kindest act that a person can perform for another person.
Yeah. And then the next morning, my friend like came back. Like she was like, she had like gone into like another, she's very like Burning Man, so like she's my like Burning Man friend.
So she'll just like journey into another dimension, like wander off into the woods and like sleep under a tree and then show back up.
Like I woke up the next morning and she was like drinking coffee in the same fucking onesie that she was in last night and was like, hey, she was like, hey Nori, and like, yeah, it was insane. The whole thing was insane.
Was it a fun setting though? Like big, like were you in like a scenic area? Oh,
it was gorgeous, but it was like, so I, when I tell, it was so cold, like it was like freezing, like it was like zero or something. It was insane.
Nothing is worse than being cold.
Yeah. And I'm like not an outdoors person. And so the whole thing was way outside my comfort zone, but I was feeling, you know what? You know how New Year's is. Like around New Year's, you're just kind of like, oh, like New Year, new me. I'm going to be different.
Yeah, no, it's a, like, there's so much expectation going into New Year's Eve, especially when you've like traveled somewhere and then there are like drugs into the mix. Like, yeah.
And they're all burning people. So it was like the cult, like I was trying to like adhere to the culture. And what's so funny is I went to, what's that place called? REI?
Yeah, like, you went to like the outdoor store to like get all set up.
The day before I went to REI and was like, okay, like someone help me. I'm going on a camping trip. And like literally like bought all this shit. Oh my God. I look back on that. I cringe. I'm cringing.
Wait, it was camping?
It was camping.
Oh, forget it. No literally, way.
In the freezing, it was like 15 degrees.
No.
And I was feeling, I had just moved to California and was like new state, new year, new me. I was like, I really thought I was like going to be this like new person.
Yeah, that would send me down a, like a true K-hole of terror.
Yeah, it was.
Absolutely no way.
Yeah, I don't know. We all make choices. Have you ever, I don't know, make me feel better. Have you done crazy shit like that before in your life?
Yeah, absolutely. I've like, when I was younger, like in high school, I would go to like two members of the Grateful Dead started their own spinoff called like Rat Dog. And I would just get like fucked up with my friends and then go to these like rat dog shows at the Oklahoma City Zoo Amphitheater. And
are these still happening?
No, I don't think Rat Dog performs anymore because now Dead and Company, a lot of members of the Dead teamed up with John Mayer and they have this band called Dead and Company. Ooh. And then they all perform together. So it's not like a Rat Dog vibe anymore.
Okay.
But Rat Dog is very like Dead adjacent. Like all the music sounds incredibly similar. So we would get really like we'd get a lot of shrooms and then I would just like eat a bunch of them. And really at that point, like it was I would do all these drugs, but I also wouldn't I would do so many that it was like I'm not trying to really have a specific feeling. I'm like just trying to be like fucked up. You know what I mean? So it's not like I'm taking stock of like I knew like, oh, Coke makes me feel this way or like this pill makes me feel like this. But then after a certain point, I was just like, I want to be like not aware of my surroundings. So I took a bunch of shrooms and then I was with like I would always hang out with all these like dudes. My friends were all like stoner boys and they started, one of them gave me the nickname Splooge and they started chanting Splooge at me. Like all of them, like it started soft and then got louder and louder and I was tripping and I just like could not handle, I was like, I can't do it anymore. Like I'm literally going to like die here. Like, I was like uncomfortably laughing, but also like crawling out of my skin. Then I like stood up to like walk away. And then I like started losing, like feeling like I was going to just like pass out. So then I just had to sit like on a stair alone and like regain consciousness. Oh my God. I just had to sit down like by myself on the ground and like get my bearings. And then eventually like I rejoined Team Splooge, but like, it was not a good, I would not say it was like a good trip by any means.
Were they tapping into your previous life?
Yeah, they were tapping into like, just like deep feelings. I think of like shame or something. Like I was very like triggered by the whole thing.
Oh my God. That sounds awful.
Yeah, it was not fun. And so, but I'm happy to report that I've like bounced back and have since had like very lovely experiences on psychedelics at Dead shows since then with the friends that would not like scream and chant splooge at me in public.
Yeah, I feel like we presented the different sides of like tripping with bros.
Yeah, you had like a sensitive bro that like took into account, like this was not the kind of crowd that I hung with in high school. It was the kind of crowd that would like publicly humiliate you if you're like tripping too hard. You know what I mean? Like it's like not a supportive psychedelic community.
Not safe. And I'm actually remembering now that he was playing me original music.
Oh, that's like makes it even more special.
Some of it good, some of it not good.
He'd been waiting his entire life for this moment.
I remember now that it probably was very mutually beneficial because like he had like a captive like audience. To where I'm starting to remember now that yeah, some of it I was even while tripping, a part of me was like, oh no. Like that's not good.
That's good though. That means like you're at least in somewhere your mind could like grab on to reality.
Yeah. I think as I was sobering up, it was starting to hit me like what the music was. Like, yeah, as I was coming down.
Yeah, as like an acoustic guitar playing bro is always just like a wild twist to me.
Yeah, he was
like, who allowed you to do this?
I know he was, and the music he was playing was very Dave Matthews.
Oh, I actually love that.
I know, like I'm a little, like I'm getting wet just like thinking about it. It was actually really,
yeah.
Oh my God,
that's hot.
If you're out there, Panini, please give me a call. I don't know,
sandwich,
like, sandwich. It was some. Oh my God, I wish I could remember, like brioche or like something sandwich esque.
I need to know. French toast.
French toast. That it. something. Anyways, I don't know. Are you, wait, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Are you online dating during the quarantine?
No, I'm not. Are you?
I just started yesterday.
Are you, what, are you on the apps? Like, what's the deal?
So I kind of gave in because I was getting bored, and I swear to God, and I'm not like weirdly bragging about this. I only got horny like 4 days ago. Like, I was not horny.
Yeah, I have not. I don't relate to like people being like hornier than ever. I'm like the anti-horny.
Yeah, yeah. I was, well, sounds like someone's horny.
Yeah, it's like, no, you're not. He's like, you masturbated last night, you horny bitch.
Yeah, he literally was like, that's a lie. Yeah, so no, I mean, I was not feeling that kind of like international horny vibe that everybody was like feeling until like mm-hmm. 4 days ago. And then I kind of was like, fine. And so I re-downloaded Tinder, and then they have the like free passport feature now.
What's the free passport feature? Oh, is it like you can go in other locations?
Yes. So I've been going to different cities and swiping. And that's first I did Abu Dhabi because I was like, why not? I just wanted to see what was up. And I'm not very popular in Abu Dhabi. I know. I'm kind of like shook.
I love testing the waters to see like what cities you make the biggest splash in.
I mean, I'm a little upset. I thought like I would be like exotic and like different, and they would be like, oh, like I don't know what I thought. I just thought that they would be into it. I don't know.
Like in Abu Dhabi, like they would mostly go for like Instagram models.
Oh, you're right. You're so.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's going to be, if you have like kind of a yacht girl energy, they really respond positively to that.
I 100% do not have yacht girl energy.
Same.
I know, like the below deck kind of like crew vibes. Like, yeah, I don't have that. So then I did Berlin, much better.
Ugh, love.
Much better. These artistic guys are like, ooh, like artistic, like she's different. That's good. And then I think I'm gonna try tonight, like somewhere like Iowa.
Oh yeah. You gotta spice things up for them because like you know that they're really hurting for like great matches in Iowa.
Yeah. I wanna like be that like T girl that they're like, what? Like, because I know they've seen it and I know that they're all up on the porn, so I just kind of want to like see, I don't know, I just have a good feeling that I'm going to find my husband in Iowa.
Yeah, there's a new girl in town.
There's a new girl in town and she's different.
This makes me really want to get on Tinder now because like I like the security of flirting in like a different city where there's absolutely no chance of like meeting up anytime in the near future.
Well, oh my god, wait, I just realized I tell you a story.
Tell me.
Oh my God, I cannot believe, Laura, I cannot believe I didn't just like start with this.
Wait, tell me everything. Also, I meant to ask you, what happened to that guy that you wrote the article about?
Oh my God, he broke my heart. So basically, like, we were dating, and then I made him dinner. He came over, and we hooked up. It was really good. And then the next day, he was being really weird and distant. And so finally, like, a few days later, I was like, are you? I'm like, what's going on? He's like, oh, he's like, I really like you a lot. But, like, can we just, like, be friends? I know. That's the most, like, when you, like, have sex with someone, and then they're like, can we keep, like, all the parts that we have and not do the sex part? That's a special kind of hurt.
Yeah, that's when anyone prefaces anything with I really like you a lot, but it's like you don't like me that much.
Yeah, it was pretty devastating. And he had a beautiful penis, like gorgeous penis. So that was hard. But
there are millions of beautiful penises in the world.
Speaking of, on my Insta story, I posted some dumb... I'm telling this story in real time, so I'm sorry if it's like a bad way of telling it or if this is boring.
There are no bad ways of storytelling.
Feel free to like snip
on this podcast.
Just snip and cut this up into something usable. But basically, I did an Insta story, and it was like, it was so annoying. It was like, why do you hate about my voice? Like that's literally like what it was. It was like a poll. And how disgusting is that? And someone wrote that it's not in the same room as me.
Ooh.
And I was just like, oh, what? And so I like looked the profile up, and it's this like gorgeous art. Like he's an artist. So it's just like this really modern, abstract, cool paintings and drawings. And I was like, okay, what's happening right now? And then I like look in his like where people have tagged him, because he didn't have any photos of himself. So I'm Nancy Drew. I'm a fucking detective. So I like went into the page where it's like people have tagged him, and oh my god, he's hot.
Wow.
Like gorgeous Italian. Like oh my god. He's like
Italian? Italian. Whoa. Oh my god, Nori, you have to pursue this, because honestly you're living my dream right now.
Okay, Italian, he's shaved head and with like a gorgeous mustache, just like daddy, just like huge daddy vibes. Like 10 feet tall, just like this like big man.
Wow.
I know. And so I message him and I was like, hi, I'll just like ruin the story first by just saying, I don't know how to flirt on Instagram.
Oh, I don't know how to, I will learn how to flirt someday, but my flirting skills and like my ice breaking skills on messaging is like terrible.
I literally was like, how do you know me? Is like what I said. I was like, how do you know me? And
you're giving really like ESL vibes with that response.
Like the world's like first robot. How do you know me?
AI. You're like, I am first version.
Yeah. And so like the I see the dot dot dots, and the, like it lasts for a long time. So I'm just like, what? Like he's clearly like, how do I respond to this dumb bitch? Like what do I say? And finally he was like, well, I don't know you, but I'm an artist living in London, and I think you're so funny and you're so hot. And I was just like, what is happening right now? This does not happen to me, by the way.
This is happening. This is your life. This you is not literally physical. Yeah, this is no, but this is like, this is who you are.
And so get this. I'm like, how do you, I was like, so then I ask again, I go, oh, sorry. What I meant is, how did you find me on here?
You need to take a learning annex class.
You need
a master class ASAP.
And then he goes, and then the dot dot dots last for a while. Maybe because he speaks, he's like Italian.
Yeah, and he's like Google translating his answers.
Yeah, so maybe it's okay, because maybe I sound somewhat normal to him, possibly. But he was like, oh, Ed Drost reposted one of your like tweets or something.
Ooh.
It was through Ed Drost.
I love that.
Yeah.
Small world. Okay.
Small world.
This is a true, like a dream come true of a person.
I think I have good karma. Anyways, we chatted for a long time. He's an artist. He's poly. He's pan. He's super hot. And we sexted. We exchanged photos. Maybe he even listened to this podcast. Who knows? I don't know. I'm sorry if you.
Ugh, sexy. I've been like on a real Italian kick during core, and like I'm watching a lot of Italian movies, and like I'm even learning Italian on Duolingo.
Ooh.
And so it's like my goal to become fluent in Italian. So I'm really gonna be living vicariously through this flirtation.
Well, we all know that eventually he's going to say, look, I think you're so funny. I think you're so great. Can we do everything that we were moved for without any sexuality? Please.
I like you a lot, but.
His thing, though, is he loves, and not in a gross way. It wasn't in a weird fetishy way, but he loves bigger bodies.
Oh, I love that.
I know. It's just, it was cool. It was cool.
That's really cool.
It was the thing I needed to get me through the week. I was like, this is a nice, like, you know, kick in the butt or whatever they call it. I don't know what they
Yeah,
call.
I have never had, like, a guy be so forward and then also be, like, really hot.
I know.
Back it up. You know what I mean? It's always like a gremlin that comes out and is like, what? Like, your voice isn't in the same room. And then I look and it's like Quasimodo.
Yeah. I get messages all the time from disgusting married men who like are on Instagram and have like kids. And like, no, like that happens all the time. It's disgusting. But like, this is the first real normal person.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah. It was crazy.
Well, I'm jealous.
Oh, thank you. I mean, it was confusing. He would say something very sexy. And then I would say, so, like, what's your favorite meal? And he was like, oh, like, what do you, he's like, do you meet what? And I was like, oh, like, do you eat? I was like, I would ruin anything sexy he said. I would immediately ruin. It was so
like, really funny. Do you love pasta?
Because you're Italian.
Meatball?
Yeah. And then finally he literally was like, my favorite meal is your ass. And then so he would like he'd put it back on track.
Good. Yeah, he knew what he was doing. I love that for you. So, it sounds like your core is going pretty well.
So anyways, I'm thriving. I don't know about you guys, but I'm doing really well. Just kidding.
You've really like passed this wellness check with flying colors.
Oh my god. but I just think that you should get up. I think after this, you should get back on Tinder and you should make your location Italy.
Yeah, I think so too. Because I really want to, I'm planning a trip to Italy for next year. Because also, the psychic that I talked to said I should not travel internationally for the rest of 2020.
Okay.
Just like me personally, he was like, I just foresee danger if you were to travel internationally, like you might get stuck somewhere, something bad will happen. And I was like, okay, well, that's all you had to say. Also, it's like, where the hell, like, I'm not trying to go anywhere internationally this year right now anyway. So seems like a good time to keep things like local-ish.
You're just going to stick to that? You're like, you're not going to do it?
I'm going to stick to it. I don't foresee there being a time this year where I would be called to travel internationally, but you know, anything could happen. But I also like really believe the psychic can like see things. So I don't know.
Yeah. I say, listen to the psychic.
Like last time I didn't listen to him when I just had heard the advice, I bought all the international tickets and then sure enough that got canceled. Like I should have just been like, no, but the opportunity to travel was like something I just couldn't turn down.
Shame on you. Yeah.
So I have to be responsible, a responsible psychic follower. But next year is the year that I go to Italy and make a true splash.
I believe it. Did you watch La Dolce Vita?
I haven't watched that one yet.
So good.
Yeah, that's on my list. But I'm also like a huge My Brilliant Friend head, that show on HBO. I don't know if you're aware of it. It is so good. Oh my God. Well, it's like an adaptation of an Elena Ferrante trilogy of books. And it's basically two girls growing up like in a small like shitty city outside of Naples, and like it's like a years long friendship. It's like about their friendship, but it's like so deeply like immersive into like Italian culture. It's amazing.
What's it called again?
My Brilliant Friend.
When did it come out?
It came out last year. The first season premiered last year, and then like there were billboards and stuff, but I honestly thought it was like it looked to me like it was like a World War II like Anne Frank type of vibe. Like I was like, I'll pass. And then it really was not that at all.
I'm running out of things to watch. I'm so bored that I'm
definitely, oh my God. I'm trying to like just get everyone into My Brilliant Friend.
I'm going to get into it. Nothing makes me happy anymore. Like things that previously entertained me, or like I have lost all value.
Yeah. That's a definitely a phase of quarantine that I've experienced too, where for a while I was like, no food makes me excited. Like, yeah. I look forward to nothing. But now my brilliant friend has given me a lot to live for.
Okay, definitely watching, like, for sure.
Okay, I love it. Well, thank you so much for being my guest on this week's Babe.
My pleasure. This was amazing.
And giving me hope, giving me some dating hope, and giving the readers some really good, I think that's really good dating advice to anyone listening that's looking to, like, just, like, helicopter into a new town.
And if you're really so terrible at flirting online, just make sure the other person is international and speaks English as a second language, and it will seem like what you're saying is normal.
Yeah, that's the key. I'm ready to do that with, like, Italian guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I'm at about the same flirt level as, do you like to eat?
Do you eat? How do you know me?
How do you know me? Where did you find me?
I guess I was just like being a poet. I mean, that sounds poetic to me, but whatever.
I kind of like it too. It's playing hard to get, and men really respond positively to that.
Yeah, and also like it's playing like a little like mentally unstable, which is hot.
Yeah, it's giving me like Misha Barton in the OC vibes.
That's who I aspire to be. So,
well, tell everyone where they can find you.
Well, if you follow, I live in Instagram. That's where I live. Fellas, shoot your shot.
Yes.
Also, ladies, like I'm newly like bi. I don't know. Whatever. The point is to shoot your shot. I'm on Instagram, Nori Reed. Especially if you speak English as a second language, I would really appreciate that. Absolutely. Follow me.
I love it. And you can write emails to us at babepodcast@gmail.com. You can get bonus episodes at patreon.com/babepodcast. And with that, I bid you all farewell. Bye.
Bye.
Babe?
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.